May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 884. With solemn weekly state, the worldling treads thy court, content to see thy gate and such as there resort. But ah, what is the house to me, unless the master I can see? 884.
Thank you. us read together from God's holy word two portions of scripture this morning. The first, the book of Ruth, chapter 1. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much, for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And now Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and for an oath, for confirmation, is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. May God bless those readings of his holy word and teach us how to pray. Almighty and most holy Lord God in heaven, we come before thee on the morning of another Lord's Day. Thou hast favoured us, Lord, to gather once more in thy cause. Lord, we're conscious of a congregation mourning the loss of loved ones. Lord, we do pray that thou would come and grant thy gracious presence, both here this day and as we leave. May thy presence go with us. Be with those, Lord, who mourn the loss of loved ones. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou art come right where they are, and may they know thee and that sympathizing heart, and those everlasting arms that bear up and carry. And Lord, we do pray that in these bereavements that there may be thy voice heard. We do pray, Lord, for that sanctifying effect. As death has touched those souls, Lord, may the sound touch our hearts. May thy word and thy voice be heard. We do pray, Lord, that thou would open our eyes to that never-ending eternity. And may that question be asked in each soul by thy Spirit with power. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. O Lord, we do pray then that this day there may be the credentials for heaven made clear to each, that there may be evidences confirmed, that there may be promises renewed, promises given, souls confirmed, souls born again, souls quickened into newness of life. May the death of one be the life of another. May the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious resurrection be our only hope. May it be our life imputed to us, his death, he instead of me, and his glorious resurrection a hope that one day we too may rise to the glory of heaven. O Lord, we do pray then that there may be the sanctifying effect. We may not pass through these events in our lives unmoved, untouched. O Lord, we do pray that it may be used for thy honour and glory and for our real eternal good. Oh, but do, Lord, be with those mourners. Oh, do comfort hearts. Oh, speak words of peace into troubled hearts. May thy Spirit come and give us solid peace. Oh, speak words of peace, we pray, and bind up the broken heart. Lord, we know not the cases and concerns of each, but Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest all the thoughts this morning. Thou knowest, Lord, all the desires. Oh Lord, may our desire be to be right, be ready. Oh, for we each must stand before thee. We know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. We know not whether young or old that this year might be our last. Lord, do leave none out, pass none by. Oh, make it that urgent, pressing case, that one thing is needful. May it be that chief concern, to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. May this year begin and end with thee. May each one of us, at the close of this year, know thee more than we do now. O Lord, teach us by thy Spirit. May we grow in grace. Thy people, may our faith be increased. May we trust thee more. May we be sweetly constrained to lean upon thee and find thee faithful, a faithful friend, a very present help in trouble. O Lord, do teach us in the way which we shall go. Guide us, Lord, we pray. And may our footsteps be on that narrow way that leads to glory. O Lord, we pray for thy help. Keep our feet from falling. Hold us fast, keep us near thee. Leave us not to wander into the world, but oh, may we be held by thee, upheld by thee. May we not be found, Lord, with a murmuring spirit, but oh, may our sighs and our cries be unto thee and thee only. Oh, that we may not bring reproach on thy name. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou will be with us. And as this year, if spared, stretches out before us, oh Lord, we beg for thy presence, both here week by week and as we go about our daily business. Oh Lord, leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. Oh, we do pray that we may know thy gracious presence, feel it, prove it, and may the effects of it be known and seen, that we have been with Jesus. Oh, may the world see a difference in us. Oh, may grace make a difference in us. Oh, Lord, the fruits, the evidences, the signs. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou stir us up. Oh, give us that right zeal. Put thy love in our hearts. May it be overflowing. Oh, Lord, we pray. May there be that union and communion, one with another and with the Lord. Amongst the brethren, the church here, may there be that flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. Gather in from the congregation into thy church here those of thy dear people. Lord, bring them each, and if it could please thee. Oh, we know not thy will and purpose, but oh, we must plead. Oh, Lord, that thou wilt be inquired of by the household of Israel, to do it for them. Then may we be found seeking thee, seeking thy blessing. May there be pillars in the church here, praying one for another. Make us diligent in these things, Lord, we pray. And may thy image be seen in us. Oh, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise, and may it radiate from us that the praises of an almighty God. May we be a testimony to thy mercy and that free and sovereign grace. May there be many, Lord, constrained to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. O Lord, and may all the glory be to thy dear name. We thank thee for many mercies. There have been those souls born since our last visit here. And we would thank thee for that life given and life spared, prayer heard and answered. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless them, the families and those babes. May they be thy dear children. Oh, may they be numbered amongst thy dear people. Keep them as the apple of the eye. Hide them beneath the shadow of thy wing. And as the parents bring up children in this evil world, may grace be given, wisdom given. Lord, may we bring up our children in that right way. Thou seest the evil that abounds, the subtle schemes and plans of Satan. O Lord, do hedge about us, we pray. Be that wall of fire round about, and the glory in the midst. Do be around this church and congregation. Keep Satan from them. And be with tempted souls, those with doubts and fears, burdens, perplexities, hard things, puzzling things, trying things, seeming unanswered prayers. May they be enabled to continue to beseech thee and to give thee no rest. May there be that wrestling prayer, O Lord, indicted by thy Spirit. Oh, to be praying according to thy will. Then, Lord, teach us how to pray and what to pray for. Lord, we pray for the dear Sunday school, and we thank thee, Lord, for the children and the young people. And we look around at our little denomination and many causes brought low, many without what seems to be a generation to follow. And yet here, Lord, thou hast favoured them with these young ones, and we would thank thee for that mercy. And feel the weight of that solemn responsibility. Oh Lord, do bless them each. And from the youngest to the oldest, may not a hoof be left behind. Oh Lord, pass none by. Oh, do in thy love and mercy favour each one with that everlasting love. Bring each into a saving knowledge of thee, that personal knowledge. Confirm them in that great wonder of being loved as an everlasting love. May it be the blessed privilege of each who gather here week by week. O Lord, we do pray for thy mercy. Help us now as we turn to thy word. May thy Holy Spirit come. And may the unction and power be thine. Though delivered in weakness, may it be in the power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Make this the glad hour. May this be one of thy appointments. May things be done for eternity. We humbly beseech thee. And we would confess our many failings and sins. We're not worthy, Lord, of the least of thy mercies. We come on mercy's ground, and we thank thee from our hearts for that throne of grace, the way marked out with blood of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, that way whereby sinners may approach unto thee. There may there be a drawing near this day. Do reach out thy hand, draw us to thyself, lift us above the reach of inferior things, May our eyes be unto thee. May our minds be lifted. Remove thoughts of last week and next, and wholly take us up with thee, we humbly pray, as we ask, with pardon of every sin, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, through thy beloved Son, in whom thou wast well pleased. We ask in his name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, oppressed with sorrows and with sins, on her beloved Lord she leans? 92.
Thank you.
with me to our second reading, Hebrews chapter 6. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6, and the 12th verse. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We need to set the beginning of this verse in context, that ye be not slothful. Paul, writing here, speaks of, in verse 9, the things that accompany salvation. And he goes on to say in verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full end, to the full assurance of hope, unto the end, that ye be not slothful. You see, beloved friends, the work of grace in the heart of a sinner, the work of the Holy Spirit in quickening a soul into life, there's a death to the past life, their past ways, and there's a new heart given. There's a new spirit put within them. And it's this Spirit of God that's put into their hearts that becomes their controlling influence. From it, the effects of it in their hearts, the love of Christ in their hearts, it brings forth fruit. It gives faith. Faith is the gift given, and it increases, and the Lord builds it up, and he establishes that soul on the foundation promises in his word, and they grow in grace, and there's outward signs of and marks of their acquaintance with a loving Heavenly Father. There's a different scene in their lives. Beloved friends, can we see it in ours? Have we any of these evidences in our lives? We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Well, loving the brethren won't save you, beloved friends. But the effect of the grace of the Holy Spirit in your heart, the new birth in your soul, it'll bring love to the brethren, not just to those who are your friends, but to the strangers that you meet, who you in a conversation, that there's a flowing together, there's a uniting in spirit. They may be complete strangers to you. And I'm sure some of you here have known that when you've begun a conversation with someone, you may have a completely different personality, be completely different in your outward appearance even, and yet there's a uniting in love, a flowing together, and you love the brethren. You love the brethren. Those who on a personal level you may not have got on with in a natural earthly friendship, but the love of Christ, it lifts their souls above these earthly things, and there's a uniting one with another. Then, beloved friends, have you and I these evidences? You know, I feel I must speak concerning the two deaths that have been one here and one at the dear pastor and or recent pastor and servant of God at Southill, a great grandfather, a grandfather and father to many of you here. The two deaths, beloved friends, are there? Will there be, when our end comes, a savour, a sweet savour left behind of a testimony of an almighty God, a testimony of the free and sovereign grace of an almighty God? Will our record left here below be one of a testimony to the power and love of an almighty God? Will there be, for those conducting the service of our funeral, if we're to have one, will there be much to say concerning the Lord's dealings with us? Oh, will we radiate his free and sovereign love? Will we be a trophy, a sign to those who follow, a testimony of an everlasting love that continues endless days, that carried and bore us to our journey's end? Will our end be like this? What does Balak say? Balaam prophesying of the people of God, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. Oh, will our end be as those of the people of God? Will we be an example of free and sovereign grace, sin abounding, grace abounding, where sin did abound? Will we radiate the glories of God? And beloved friends, we have it here in our text this morning, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What a mercy. What a mercy that there are those that we know and love throughout the generations that leave this sweet testimony, that leave an example for us to follow. What a mercy to the Church of God. What a mercy to congregations. When watching on, you can see the Lord dealing with someone, bringing them through trials sometimes, through hard things. But there's an almighty God that's held them fast, that's not let them slip, that's not failed them, that's not forsaken them. Though they may have been tempted, though they may have sinned, yet his love unchanging, unwavering, unaltering. Beloved friends, what a mercy that we can see these evidences in our day. We have the Word of God to look back to, but in our day, still, this same God is with us, maintaining his people, bringing his people safely through this wicked world, plucking them as a brand from the burning, and bearing them up right through their lives. And we see it. Oh, do we thank him for it? Oh, does it comfort your heart this morning? His blessed ability to carry a sinner, a weak and helpless sinner, through this wicked world and land him safe in glory. Beloved friends, are our hearts comforted? Oh, what a death the death of the righteous is. You know, it is a sweet savour that surrounds. What comfort it brings to those who mourn. Of course, they miss them. There's a natural loss. You cannot go to them and ask advice. Their prayers are ended. Their counsel, their wise instruction is no longer there for us. Their gracious walk and conduct, an example for us to follow, has been removed. But in that natural loss, the comfort that they've left this world of sin, the toil and conflict is over, that they've entered into rest. Oh, we would not wish them back, would we? Oh, if we had a glimpse by faith of the glories of heaven, those adoring saints and angels round the throne of God singing Alleluia this morning, beloved friends, you don't wish them back. But oh, there is the loss. You miss them. May the Lord comfort the troubled hearts. That ye be not slothful but followers. Well, we read the book of Ruth. And you know what struck me reading that yesterday morning? Oh, the example of Naomi. You know, there was that error in leaving and going into Moab. We don't read that the Lord constrained them to go. The Lord has a wonderful ability, you know, to bring good from evil things. But you see, we don't read of Elimelech seeking the Lord's blessing upon his leaving his people and going into Moab. Jacob, when the great famine came and Joseph was made known, you read what he did. He sought the Lord. He longed to see Joseph. He longed to see his face, but he knew he was going into Egypt. And he sought the Lord's will. Is it right? Shall I go? The Lord says, go. And that promise that they would leave. One day he was taking his whole family into Egypt. Should he go down to Egypt for help? He sought the Lord. Joseph said, you'd think he'd run straight off, wouldn't you? Of course you'd think he'd take his bags and depart straight away to see his dear son, but he sought the Lord. And we don't read that here with Elimelech. And you know, if you and I do something, that we put our hand to something and without seeking the Lord's blessing, and if we're his dear children, he will correct us for it. He will stir us up. He will bring those thorns in the nest. If you're trying to settle down in Moab and the Lord has a purpose of love toward you, and you've not sought his will and blessing upon it, you've taken it upon your own wisdom to do it, don't be surprised if the Lord chastens you for it. Oh, but to hear his voice in it. You see, Elimelech died, and her two sons then took wives of Moab. Well, we see God's purposes, all things working together for good. The mystery, the sovereignty of an almighty God. The calling out of Moab of Ruth. But beloved friends, it did begin with error. And we can't question God's sovereignty, of course we can't. But beloved friends, we must heed the warnings. You see, the way of transgressors is hard. And Naomi had to prove it. She said, I went out full, and the Lord brought me back again empty. Empty. And she lost both her sons. And then the Lord brings to her knowledge that the Lord has favoured her homeland, and she's stirred up to come back. The Lord draws her back to her people. And we read two following. Now this is the point this morning. Be ye followers of them, Naomi's witness. Godly woman. Oh, how she radiated the praises of her God. You see, her daughter-in-laws, they saw a difference in her. You know, even Orpah had an attraction to Naomi. We read both of them began to journey. We read this: wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So they both began following this gracious, godly woman. Oh, friends, those of you who have testified of the love of God, those of you who fear his name, those of you who have testified of the grace of God in your hearts, what example do we give? Are we, and are you, maybe you think it's a strange word, but it seems to sum it up so well. Are we recommending an almighty God to those around us? Are we recommending to sinners around us, in our conduct, in our conversation, in our walk, are we recommending to sinners around us the Lord Jesus Christ, the effect of his love in our hearts, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a recommendation flowing from us of the dying love of our Saviour? Is his savour radiating from us? Does the world see a difference in us? On the Monday when we go into work or into school or into the things that we do, the mums in the playground, those that you mix with, is there a recommendation coming from us? Are we radiating his glories? Naomi must have. A glorious witness. Ye are my witnesses. And she was showing forth the praises of an almighty God. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise, not just to those in their chapel on the Sunday, but every day they shall show forth my praise. Well, the faults that they had in leaving their homeland and going into Moab, yet you see the Lord was with her. She may have left her home, but she didn't leave her God. She didn't leave her religion at home. She was a witness, a right witness, a godly witness. And, you know, friends, will our life be a witness? Is our life a witness? And as we leave this world, and those we leave behind, will there be the sweet savour and a testimony of that witness of an almighty God, his dealings, his love, his glories? Is his image on us, shining from us? You know, the refiner of silver, he gets the silver and he holds it over the heat, and he burns it. Yeah, and it's to remove the rubbish. And it's a long process. And in the olden days they sat to do it, and it took a long time and a lot of heat and a fierce furnace. But you see, only the rubbish was burnt off. And when the refiner could see his image in the silver, his reflection in the silver, without any distortions, without any of the rubbish, the filth on the top, when his image was seen in the silver, reflecting from it, then the work was done. Oh, may you and I know that this refining, as the Lord refining you, is he removing the rubbish? Is his work going on in your heart, in your life? Are you being led? You feel like I'm going from one trouble to the next, but is the Lord refining you? Are you at the end of each trial? Is there more of his image found in you? Is he making you have that close walk with him? Are you found, like we sang of that one coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? You know, beloved friends, if you're found in heaven, it's through the mercies of an almighty God. And what mercy there is when the Lord makes a sinner lean on him. Well, beloved friends, Naomi was leaning on him. She came up out of Moab, removed of her earthly props, a husband, two sons. Oh, she was a widow. And there wasn't any social security in those days. What would happen to her? You know, there was two daughter-in-laws, and she felt that they had been brought into this great trial through their failings. She was a tried woman, but oh, what was reflecting from her? The love of God. The love of God. What a testimony. And you know, they both followed. They both followed. It's very solemn, isn't it? You know, when someone passes away, there's often an effect. And those around, they're touched. I've seen it in my own family. Somebody passes away. There's a loved one of mine, you know, and he comes and goes each week. And into chapel he comes and out he goes. Is there anything really going on? Someone close dies. And suddenly he begins coming on the Thursday evening. He's not just a Sunday man, he's coming in the week. That there's an effect, and we pray for that effect, a sanctifying effect. But you know, unless this is an effect given by the Holy Spirit, then it won't last. And you know, after 2 or 3 months, the week services were dropped, and are slipping back into the old ways. Beloved friends, there's a natural effect. There's a natural religion. And you know, we really, to begin with, have, some of us, a natural religion. We naturally like the services of God's house. We naturally, as human beings, many naturally want to think there is something else. And there's natural drawings to all sorts of religions. And there's some in our congregations who come out of routine and tradition, and they've a natural attraction to the services of God and the singing and some of the readings that they find comforting, maybe. And they like the meeting friends. But, beloved friends, unless this is the work of the Holy Spirit, it will end. It will end. And we see it in these two cases. Orpah, she begins following Naomi. She sees Naomi, her witness, her religion, and she follows. She's willing for a season to part with all her own family and friends, and she leaves. And they journey together. And what is the difference between Ruth and Orpah? Outwardly nothing. And yet when Naomi asks the question, when Naomi brings to them what they're leaving, what they're giving up, and when the Lord begins a work of grace, there must be this leaving, parting. And it is cutting and it is hard. And there's a dying to this life and the affections and the old past friendships. And some have to leave family. And yet, unless it's the work of grace, how can they? How can they turn their back? Orpah. We read her. She's crying. She's moved with emotion. And yet when it comes to points, when it comes to that vital point, when there's that crossroads, if you like, there's a turning back. The natural drawing, the natural affections, the natural religion, when coming to points, when crosses must be borne, where losses must be endured, the flesh dislikes the way. The flesh dislikes the way. And if your religion and mine is of the flesh, there it will end, and there will be the turning back. But may the Lord open our hearts and our understanding. May his Spirit enter into us and give us that zeal and that love and that desire and his grace in our hearts. It's grace that makes the difference. The two cases, one had the grace of God and the other solemnly didn't. Oh, nice person that she might be, a good daughter-in-law that she might be, the grace of God made a difference. And Ruth says, Ruth clave to Naomi. Now, it wasn't just Naomi, was it? What was her confession? Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave me." Oh, stop. Stop asking me to leave. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And this is it. Thy God, my God. There was a natural drawing to Naomi. She loved Naomi for the truth's sake. She loved Naomi's God, and she loved Naomi. And Naomi's God was, Ruth's desire was that thy God is my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. That the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Oh, may that be our religion. This religion given by God. Oh, this urgent, pressing case. A soul with a work of grace in their hearts can't be discouraged. It's give me Christ or else I die. Thy God, my God. And beloved friends, have those of you who have testified of the love of God, are you witnessing this? Are there those around you who follow your God, who see an attraction in you, see your God? Is there a drawing to your God through your witness? Oh, it comes close, doesn't it? Comes very close. What influence are we having? How do we influence those around us? And maybe there are those here who see a child of God, see the difference in their life, and you see an attraction in them. Have you had to leave Moab? some of the Lord's people, you know, they've had to turn their back on even their own families. That they've seen an attraction, not just an outward attraction, they've seen a difference in a family, in a person. And you know, they've forsaken earthly ties and followed. Oh, may there be many Ruths amongst you here. May there be many Naomis. Many radiating that the praises of their God. May there be many Ruths who discern, have an eye given by the God, a desire to know their God. There's something different about them. It's not. Maybe they walk a bitter pathway. Maybe you don't want their pathway, but oh, what maintains them? What helps them? Why haven't they fallen? Why haven't they crumbled under that great trial? What is it that's maintained them? Who is this that holds them up? Oh, may I know him. As they testify, when you ask them, the Lord has helped me. Hitherto am I helped. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. As they sweetly testify of a never-failing God. My God, thy God, my God. Oh, you long to know him personally for yourself. Oh, then, that you be not slothful, but followers. Peter writes in his epistle that we're to give diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And you say, well, you come this morning and you're saying, do this, do that. I thought we weren't to do anything. We're strict Baptists. We don't believe that we're to do anything. Beloved friends, oh, how can you stand there? How can you sit there and think that we're accountable? Yes, it must be all of grace. Yes, you can't make yourself hear these things. You cannot open your own ears. You cannot give yourself that soft heart to receive the word of God into it in faith and in love and in obedience. But he can. And he will be inquired of this, beloved friends, to do it for them. We're accountable, aren't we? We're to give an account what we've done in the flesh, both good and evil, and how we've heard his word. Does it concern us? Maybe this morning you say, I've come here, I feel I'm one of these that's coming drifting in and drifting out. I sit through countless sermons. I can't remember what it was last Sunday. I can't remember the text last week. Beloved friends, may the Lord open your eyes and your ears and your heart. May he open your eyes to see a never-ending eternity. May these deaths that have touched the congregation here be the beginning of life of others. Oh, to have that right witness, to know their God. Oh, the God of our dear friend at Southill, maintaining him all through his life, a very present help on the deathbed. Beloved friends, not leaving him as the waters of Jordan came in view. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, oh, let that God be mine, that doesn't fail a sinner through his life, and that never fails him at the River Jordan. Oh, that very present help in trouble, that speaks fear not, that comforts, that sustains, that carries a poor sinner bearing the heaviest load. He says, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. Oh, that your life and mine may be one of that. in humble submission to an almighty God, taking our yoke upon us and learning of him, being taught his ways, being taught of his love, like Paul, that I may know him and be found in him, that he may stir us up, that there may be a laying hold, that there's pressing through the crowd. Now, I'm not saying you're to do this and you're to do that. Please, friends, don't misunderstand. But oh, to be found like Ruth, entreat me not to leave thee. And as she is brought into that acquaintance with Boaz, she says, why have I found grace in thine eyes? She was drawn to Boaz, drawn to his field, and there she found grace in the eyes of Boaz. And may that be your language and mine. Drawn to the gospel field, drawn to hear of him, through the witness of Naomi, you're drawn to the people of God, you're drawn to the feet of their God, as a sinner, in all need. And oh, that resistless grace and that love that flows, and may it flow into your heart and your language be, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? No right, no merits of her own. Oh, but on mercy's ground. But, beloved friends, it's on mercy's ground that we must come. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. Oh, but to be found seeking him, to be found longing after him, that the Lord would stir us up, that we're not slothful, loitering, wandering in the way. We don't want to be an orpah, following one minute and dropping off. We want to follow the people, follow the flock, but the flock are following the shepherd. We want to see the shepherd ourselves, don't we? You can't be content with following the sheep. Oh, to see the shepherd, to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. May it be so for you and I. Oh, that we're not slothful. In both good works, if we're a Naomi, that we're not slothful in witnessing the praises of our God, but we're not slothful in the things of God. We're not content with coming and going. We're not content with watching on others, knowing, being brought into knowledge of him. But the Lord would, and it must be the Lord, not you, stir us up, breathe life, awake us, and open our eyes. Make us alive, quicken us, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the patient waiting for his kingdom to come. Oh, we thank the Lord for that savour. Beloved friends, you know the difference when there isn't. You know the difference when there isn't. When those watch on and they haven't that savour. Like David with Absalom. My son, my son. Are inconsolable. No hope. No sign. We know the Lord is sovereign. In the twinkling of an eye, he can come in. But, beloved friends, no comfort for those who look on. Yes, the Lord, like the dying thief's case, can come in that last moment. But, oh, to be witnesses, to desire a life that isn't just one of drifting in and out, but one that witnesses. Oh, that we're a showcase for his glory. Ye are my witnesses. In our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Let ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £665, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Parrish hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ramsbottom next Lord's Day, who also hopes to give the Sunday School prizes. And our friends at Oakington hold their New Year's service on Wednesday evening. And we would also just like to announce that Mr. Izzard is expected to take the funeral of our friend Mr. Bill Parrish on Friday the 30th at 2 p.m, God willing. Let us close with hymn 1016. God of my life, thy gracious power, through varied deaths my soul has led, oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. 1016.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.